Why don't the rest of us be opening up to Luke chapter 11? We're going to be looking today at verses 33 through 36, as well as some other various scriptures. I may have you pop around a little bit today, not too much, but a little bit, as we continue on in the book of Luke. But as we look today at the declaration of dependence, let's pray. Father, how we thank you, Lord, for today. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for this nation. As we look at the history of this nation, Lord, as we look at the blessings that we have, and especially, Lord, as we travel to other lands and we see what's going on in other nations, God, we realize how truly blessed we are. We are a privileged nation. And Lord, today, as we're going to see, Lord, and discuss, we are a privileged nation because of you. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are, Lord, and what you've done. And Father, I just pray that you would stir in our hearts today, Lord, not so much a sense of national pride, but Lord, really a sense of pride in our God and what you've done, Lord. And Lord, a sense of thanksgiving and honor to you. And Lord, also a sense of, well, a sense of seriousness, Lord, about how easy it would be to see this all disappear if we continued down the wrong path. Lord, stir us today. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your joy. But God, let us hear the warning of your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 33 says this: "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your entire body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." Guys, today we celebrate the Declaration of Independence Day, if you will. 1776, declaring ourselves a sovereign nation from England, seeking religious freedoms, seeking the freedom to seek God without harassment from the government. That's exactly what the Independence Day is all about. And yet, as we talk about the independence of America, which we're going to touch on today, guys, really the focus is, and what's in my heart, and I'm thinking, wow, a Sunday that falls on the 4th of July, and especially the subject that the Lord is speaking to them about today, the light of their body, the source of their light, the way the nation appeared on the outside as compared to the way the nation truly was on the inside in Israel. God saw a great difference. The Lord saw a great difference. And guys, what a great opportunity for us to see not only the Declaration of Independence for America, but guys, the Declaration of Dependence on God. And that is really the declaration that we as believers are to be making. Is, you see, there is a mindset today that is concerning to me in a lot of areas. And again, it's not going to be necessarily going into great detail about the sins of the nation, even though we are going to talk about that and the direction our nation is going today that greatly concerns me. Because I think that what even plays to that attitude is that I don't think we truly understand. I don't think this generation truly understands what it is that made America great. The problem is, and what I keep hearing, and what I think is going on in the American mindset today, especially those that really are after the World War II era, is that somehow it's because of America's democracy that America's great. Guys, it's not because of our democracy that America's great. It's not because of our Constitution that America's great. It's not because of even the day we declared independence from England that America's great. Behind all of this, this is the surface of what America did and came out of it. But the source of it was God. The source of it was the Lord saying, you know what? I'm going to bless you as a nation. I'm going to do these things because you're honoring me. And the problem is, if we start focusing in on the Declaration of Independence or on the Constitution or on our democracy, we're going to forget the reason these things even work. And we're going to see some interesting statements even today by the founding fathers who obviously understood this. And they had a very clear picture of it. Guys, it is God that makes nations great. And it is God that brings nations down. It's interesting. In Proverbs 14:34, it says this: "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And as we look today at what the Lord was dealing with and dealing with the nation of Israel, there are some frightening parallels between the nation of Israel and between America today. What are some of those parallels? Well, the nation of Israel, when they came back from Babylon, had started out as a godly nation. They came back to their land, almost as if coming to a new land, traveling from a far country, seeking a place where they could once again settle into a homeland and seek their God in freedom. And guys, the nation started gangbusters. Oh, it was hard at first. They had tough times, even as we did when the pilgrims came over. Many died, many didn't make it. There were struggles at the beginning. But here's what they knew. Even though it's hard to go back to this broken down nation of Israel that's been destroyed in these wars by Babylon some 70 years earlier because of the nation's sin, even though it was harder to go back, they realized it was all going to be worth it. Because now they were going to be able to seek their God the way that they desired to seek their God. And the freedoms that came in the end in their God, not just in their nation. Freedom just for itself, as you know by looking around our country, is not good. Just to have the freedom to do what you want is not always a good thing. Because we see how a lot of people take those freedoms and they abuse them. But guys, freedom to seek the Lord and freedom to do what God has said, it's a great thing. And it's interesting that Israel was walking with God when they first went back in a great way. But over the years, and by the time Jesus Christ came to the earth and walked with them, he said, you know what? You guys are nothing to what you used to be. Oh, on the outside, you still have a visage, a look, if you will, that you're still a godly nation. But on the inside, you're darkness. You're filled with darkness. And unless you repent, and unless you turn back and get back on the right path, this nation's going to go down. Well, that's exactly what happened, interestingly enough, in 70 AD. Even after 70 years, they went back. In 70 AD, after the nation had fallen so far away, there was no point of return, God sent in the Roman army, Titus Vespasian, and wiped out the Jewish nation. And again, as you know, they've been wiped out until just 1948, just a few years ago, where God said, in the last days, I'm going to bring them back and I'm going to reestablish them. Not because of their righteousness, but because of His promise and His righteousness. But guys, again, the parallels are stark, I think. When I look at the founding of our nation, when I look at the struggles that our nation went through, when I look at the commitments to God, and again, I'll let the founding fathers speak for themselves here in just a moment. I have several quotes we're going to look at. And this is not going to be a parading America Day. Let me say this. I love our country. I love this nation. It is the most blessed nation on the planet. But it is not America that I lift up. It is Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus Christ that America is great. So don't get me wrong. I'm not downing America. I love my country. It is an honor to be here. But guys, I realize that it's not the country that we are to necessarily lift up. Yes, we're thrilled with it. And we're excited that we get to be a part of it. And as I travel other places, as you guys know, we went to Juarez, Mexico, just a couple of weeks ago. I tell you, when you cross back across the border and come into America, you know, it's kind of like if you ever wanted to kiss the ground, that might be the time you'd do it. Because you realize, wow, look what God has done. Again, that is if you have God's mindset and God's viewpoint. But guys, it's important to take note of what it is that brought the nation of Israel down. You see, what brought the nation of Israel down was not just a sudden national turn away from God. They didn't just one day wake up and say, God, we don't want you. Here's what they did. And guys, this is interesting. Take note in this. A nation that was established by God, even as I believe America was, a nation that had honored God, even as I know that America has, they didn't just turn from God in any given day. They systematically and gradually began to reject God in their lifestyle and in their culture and in their society. Oh, they kept religion on the surface because that's how they were raised. It was in born in them. They kept that visage, if you will, of, you know, we're going to serve God. But it was eroding away in their hearts. In the national life, it was disappearing. And the Lord came to tell them that. Guys, it is disappearing. You need to turn back to God. And in essence, they were so far down the road, the Messiah stood right in front of them. Guys, God in human form, they didn't recognize Him. I wonder what it would be like in America today if God came in human form. Most Americans would think, oh, well, everybody would recognize Him. But I guarantee you guys, he would probably be labeled as a right-wing fundamentalist. Amen. I'm not just saying that because the Christian church is today. Honestly, I'm saying Jesus Christ would come and say, right is right, wrong is wrong, here's what's right, you better repent. Well, this man's intolerant. And he's just God telling us the truth. You see, guys, that's what Jesus faced in his day, and frightfully so, that's what we face in our nation today. Now, am I going to say when we get in, well, we're hopeless. America has no, I still believe there's hope for America. I don't think we've gone too far. I think America's on a slippery slope really fast. And I believe that if we as the church don't begin to speak out, I'm not talking about getting political, although if you're called to that, God bless you. That's not my point. I'm saying this, simply speaking the truth. It's not going to be politics that's going to turn this nation around. The politics are a result of the heart of the nation. Once the heart gets turned around, the politics follow. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Guys, if we put our treasure in Jesus Christ and in God and the things of the Lord, our nation is going to follow that lead. Our leaders are going to follow that lead, and our nation is going to be brought back to the Lord. I don't think it's too late, but I am greatly concerned. As I said, in Israel, they had this look on the outside like they were doing good. The light was appeared to be shining on the outside, even as the Lord spoke of in this passage, but inside they were filled with darkness. It's interesting. I read a recent Gallup poll just this week about religion to Americans. It said religion to Americans is considered very important to 63% of Americans' population. That's over 6 out of 10. Would say that religion is very important. 61% say that religion can solve all or most of today's problems. Yet as society, guys, why don't we continue to grow worse and worse? If the majority of Americans claim they want morality and things that are right and they believe that the Bible is the answer, if the majority of Americans say that, why don't we see that happening in America as a nation? Well, it's one or two things. Either the believers are asleep or people are deceived into thinking they are believers. And people are deceived into thinking they are Christians when they're not. I think it's a little bit of both. As you guys know my testimony, for 25 years, I was one of those who thought I was a believer. If you'd asked me, Mark, are you a Christian? Well, yes, of course I am. I live in America. Mark, are you a Christian? Well, yes, of course I am. My dad's a pastor. Watch out. Sometimes the worst ones. You guys know the stereotypes. And I think oftentimes that's true to a degree. And I think oftentimes it's because of the pressure to somehow be something that you can't be in the flesh rather than learning how to walk in the Spirit according to the Lord. But guys, I think a lot of it is just because we're not really shining our light. What we're going to see today is the Lord says, look, we should be shining. We should be like a lamp that everyone can see, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. But we've been pushed back into a corner. We've been pushed into a closet because we've been called intolerant and we don't want to offend people. You know, back when I was a kid, those that were in sin were in the closet and the church was out in front. Now that I'm mature, the church is in the closet and those in sin are out in front. I find that interesting, and I find it a very disturbing dichotomy. A reversal of where we should be. Now, I'm not here to, you know, beat us up. Again, we can all talk about that. You know, the old sermon of, you need to be sharing more. You need to be, hey, it's not going to be by our efforts. We're not going to leave today and go, that's it. I'm going to share more. I'm going to, everybody. No, that's good. It's good to have that heart. But let me tell you something. That lasts a day. Maybe a day and a half if you're really fired up in the flesh. You know where it comes from? Time in the Word. Time in prayer and each day saying, Lord, today you've got to fill me fresh with your Spirit. I need you to fill my lamp with oil that I might shine today. And Lord, I need you to give me courage. I need you to give me strength. And please, Lord, not during a haircut like Mark has done before, because it never ends up in the best way at the end. They get nervous. It goes fast. And you go, man, what was that? But anyway, no, share. It's okay. You can share even during a haircut. Guys, don't leave here thinking, you know, oh no, I got to do this and you're going to work. It's got to be a work of the Spirit. And that's where we have to have that lamp shining for the Lord. You know, it's interesting. Out of 21 superpowers that have existed in world history, guess how many still stand? It's not hard to figure out. One. The other 20 have fallen because of immorality and corruption. Guys, what makes us think we're going to make it? What makes us think because we are now the greatest nation in the world that suddenly we're going to continue on? The other 20, well, they just didn't have it together. But we're the one. We're the one. I think it's only because we're the last one in line. And guys, again, I'm not being a pessimist. I'm simply saying that if we don't take seriously the Word of God and what God has warned us in His Word, we're not going to make it as a nation. God is the one that lifted us up. God can set us down tomorrow. He's the Lord. The Bible says it doesn't matter how great your armed forces are. It doesn't matter how much your military or your economic power is or prowess is. If a nation is not serving the Lord, they will eventually go down. And so again, we need to take this seriously and realize, you know, it's a commitment to the Lord. Israel looked good on the outside, but on the inside, they had darkness. Look at verse 33. Jesus says this, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Notice this, you don't light a light to hide it. How many of you guys went and bought your brand new light, put it in your home, and then hung a blanket over it? It's just not logical. The Lord is making a point. Sometimes we do that. We give our lives to the Lord, and we feel intimidated by the world and the darkness that wants to wrap around us in the world. And so because of that, we want to be liked. We want to fit in. We want to be cool. You know, you don't have to be uncool to be a Christian. But if cool means fitting in with the world, then I don't necessarily want that. You know, you just be yourself. You know, you don't have to be weird or something. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. That didn't really mean that's supposed to be our behavior. It means our call, that we've been set apart, we've been set aside. You know, the Lord is saying, look, you light the lamp, hold it up there. Let people see it. It should shine. You know, the Lord didn't light our spiritual lamp for us to hide it. It doesn't make sense. And so really the first logical application here, guys, is we should shine for Jesus in such a way that people can see it. They should be able to know that we're believers. I've shared with you guys a story before about the little boy that went to camp, and he came home and mom and dad were worried because he was a Christian. This was not a Christian camp, and he was nervous about it. He goes to camp, spends the summer, comes home, and they're like, son, how'd it go? Did you have any problems? The kids pick on you or give you a hard time? He said, you wouldn't believe it. Nobody said a word. Had a blast, fit in just great. We play wonderful. You're kidding. So it's just amazing. They didn't give you a hard time about being a Christian. He said, no, I just didn't tell anybody. And guys, you know, we can do that. We can fit in great. We can have great family gatherings and things go smoothly at work and things go great in the classroom when our professor says just ridiculous things. Or we can say, you know what? I do have a comment to make. And I'm not talking about, again, you know, being rude and being obnoxious. But again, you're the lamp. Get this. Your body is the container for God's Spirit. As you hold the wick up, I have a comment to make. It shines bright. Because you're the one that can make a statement through how you live. Not just how you live. And let me say this too. I want to be cautious on this. I don't want to lay a trip on you. But there's this whole thing about being a silent witness. I think that's good. Let me give that its balance. It is good to be a silent witness. That is, when you don't have the opportunity to share vocally, you need to shine the best you can. Because I think that if we hide behind the silent witness excuse and never share, people aren't going to know why our life is different. I mean, they might think you're the nicest guy at work. You might have really changed. Your life is different, but nobody can figure out why. And at your funeral, everybody's talking about what a nice guy you were, but nobody knows why. It doesn't lead people to Christ. So there is a place for the silent witness, don't get me wrong. But if we hide behind the silent witness and we don't say, Lord, you're going to have to give me boldness to be a vocal witness. Jesus said, what you hear in the ear, shout from the rooftops. And so again, we need to have that balance, but not the fleshly mode, you know, getting hyped up, because it's not going to last. It's got to be a work of the Spirit and something that God does. The application here is very obvious. Shine your light bright. But the application I want to bring out today as well is this. Where is the source of the light coming from? Guys, the source of the light that people shine for the Lord is coming from His Spirit and the oil that He fills our lamps with, even as this nation. God filling this nation with His Spirit and God moving in this nation is what made this nation shine bright, and how easy it is to veer off of that. It's like, again, the parallels with the nation of Israel. Although they looked good on the outside, on the inside, there was no real source of light. Very religious. In synagogue each week, looked like they were doing the right thing, but the Lord says, you're filled with darkness. There's no light that's in you. He says, you know, you've got to let this light shine. Notice verse 34. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Guys, the eye is the gate of light into your life. Now, there are other avenues that you receive the light of the Lord through the ears and through other things. But Jesus is using a very clear analogy here. He's saying, even as the light from the outside, the light illuminates into your body as your eyes are open, as your lenses pick up that signal and come in. Guys, it's the same way that the eye gate receives in, that the Spirit receives in God's light. The Spirit has to be open. The Spirit has to be receiving. And there's a sense here in the language of the eye gate here being blocked when the Lord talks about darkness. The word means that it's like there's something hindering the view. It's like looking through soup. I don't know about you guys as far as when you cry. Everybody told me, Mark, when you cross 40, your eyesight changes. And I thought, well, everybody else's will, but mine won't. You know how that is. Well, I crossed 40 and my eyesight changed. And I still have great eyesight, but now I've got these things sometimes that like to kind of swim across there. And I don't know what that is. It's like, what is that? That's never been there. Stop it, you know. And the light now doesn't come. See, now, and it bugs you, you know. But the light doesn't come in as good as it used to. You see, that's what happens in the spiritual life. As we get complacent in the blessings. You know, you get complacent in the blessings of youth. In the blessings of youth, man, you can do all kinds of sports, all kinds of events. You can beat your body to death, and you're fine. You're a little bit sore, but you're up and at them again. Man, you get older, it's a different ballgame. You see, you take your youth for granted. You take the fact you think you'll never die, you think you'll always be strong, and then one day you cross 40. And you find out, you know what? I'm not old, but I'm not like 17 anymore. I'm not, you know, able to do all the things that I used to do when I was a kid. Guys, as a nation, that is what had happened to the nation of Israel. They had enjoyed the youth with the Lord of being strong, the excitement, the blessing. The nation is just victorious and we're successful. We're a great nation. And they got lazy. And as they crossed over that spiritual 40 line, so to speak, they began to see the floaties. And yet, guys, they didn't do anything about it. Now, we can't do anything about that physically, but they didn't do anything about it spiritually. They began to see, you know what? I don't see as clearly as I used to. Immorality is not as important. You know, it's okay now for our leaders to live sinful lives in the background. And you know what? That doesn't affect their public life. Oh, really? Guys, the Bible says that who you are in public is only who you are in private is greater than who you are in public. You're only a fraction of who you are in public. If you're that way in public, what do you like in private? And so the point is that as a nation, they had grown, again, corrupt. And I fear that that is what has happened in America. I know to a large degree that's what's happened in America. The question is, are we going to recognize the floaties in our spiritual eyesight and say, enough? We want to get back to our youth with the Lord. We want to get back to that spiritual walk that God has given us, this eye gate that the Lord has opened up to receive His Spirit. But guys, there's also an application here, very obviously, about watching your eyes, what comes in your eyes. You know, magazines, TV, you name it. It affects your life. It affects you as a believer. But again, here as a nation, it affects us as a nation as to how we receive the things of God and how we reject the things of God. Notice here he says in verse 35, therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. He says, oh, you're filled with something. Make sure you're not filled with darkness. Whatever you allow in the eye gate of your spirit is what you're going to be filled with. And if you're allowing in the immorality, if you're allowing in the darkness, if you're accepting the way that culture and society is going and saying, you know what, let's just all be tolerant, get along with each other, hold arms, sway back and forth and sing We Are the World. We'll just don't make waves. Let's just get along, right? Guys, I have to admit, it's a lot easier just to get along. I like that. I like the just getting along thing. And again, I'm not talking about making waves just to make them. I'm talking about just speaking the truth. It's amazing. You just speak the truth. I had somebody walk up to me the other day, and they started talking to me about and I started sharing the Lord with them. And I just said, you know, the Bible says, and he said, that's enough. Thank you. See you later. And he walked off. And I'm like, you know what? Listen, that's how the world's going to receive the light, when they hear the Word of God. But we're still to portray that. We're still to share it. And so the nation here, again, had veered off. They weren't sharing it the way that God had called them to. And again, they were looking good on the outside, but on the inside, they were filled with darkness. Notice verse 36. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives light. In other words, you know, listen, if you allow the light of God in, if you allow God's Spirit, if you allow God's Word, your body's going to be illuminated. Let me carry this farther. Yes, there's the personal application. But guys, our nation's going to be illuminated if we allow the light in. See, you guys are doing that. The church is doing that. You're allowing the light in. But we have to make sure that we not only allow the light in, we need to let the light shine out to those around us. Because if they don't see the light, how are they going to receive it? What did Jesus say? He said, I am the light of the world. Guys, we're his lamps. We get filled up with His oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit. We shine our light, and people's lives are affected by that. And again, what a time to remember where our nation was and where our nation has come than on a day like the 4th of July. I don't want you to leave here bummed. I don't want to talk about how bad the nation is doing, although we are doing very bad in many areas. If God was to give us a report card, we would not be satisfied. And yet, guys, I do want us also to realize where we were and share some things with you about where we were and some of the things of the founding fathers. And why am I doing that? Because I want you to realize what God does for a nation that is blessed and then what God does to a nation that is cursed and where our nation started. To remind us to be praying and to remind us to be praying for America and to be looking at our own hearts. It's interesting. I want to read just some facts and some quotes for you out of the American Prophecies. It's a book by Time Warner. Listen to what some of our founding fathers said. President Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock on which our republic stands. An inscription on the Liberty Bells from Leviticus 25:10. It says this, a direct quote, proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Now, as I point these things out, why do I say this? Because there are those who say that our nation was not founded as a godly nation. Guys, if you do your homework, you'll find out nothing could be farther from the truth. Our nation was definitely established on godly foundation. And on the Word of God, our founding fathers were strong believers by majority. Some 52 out of 55 of those who signed the Declaration of Independence were professing Christians. And so don't let people tell you that somehow our nation was not founded by believers. Now, I'm not saying this to get us a big rally cry and again to try to lift up America. That is not my point. I promise you, there's a point besides that to this. We're going to see as to how we should be praying for America and that we need to have our eyes open as the church spiritually, so we know how to pray for America and what to be watching for. It's interesting, again, out of the three branches of government, Isaiah 33:22 is where we got that. I don't know how many of you realize that. It says this, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. Judge being our Supreme Court, that's where we got the idea for that branch of government. The Lord is our lawgiver, that's where we got our Congress. the branch of the law, and the Lord is our king. That's where we got the president, straight out of the book of Isaiah. Recorded history, not hard to find. Founding father, again, Thomas Jefferson said this, "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath?" Here's what he's saying. God gave us these liberties, and if we go against them, God's going to bring his wrath against us. That's heavy talk from our founding father, one of them. In the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, this is interesting. Those of you that have, if you get to go to Washington, you can be looking for this now. There's a picture of the pilgrims arriving in America. And it says this, "The embarkation of pilgrims kneeling in prayer, committing their endeavors to God." Guys, that was our founding fathers. Those were the ones landing on the shores of America. Not those today who claim that America was godless and that religion is the problem. You know, it's not freedom from religion. It's freedom in it. And so we've reversed the whole process. It's interesting, in the center of that picture with the pilgrims kneeling down, there's a picture of a Bible. At their first assembly in 1639, our founding fathers declared the Bible as a legal and moral foundation for the colony. Founding Father John Adams said this, and bear with me on these quotes. He said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a well through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Guys, here's what he's saying is, it's not our democracy that made America great. It's not our Declaration of Independence that made America great. It is the God behind it. And as we apply those things to that God, that is why God was able to bless this nation. Abraham Lincoln said this, "America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves." George Washington said this, "Any nation who turns away from the rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained, cannot expect divine protection and blessing any longer." What he's saying is this, if we as a nation turn away from God, we can't expect ourselves to be protected from terrorism. I don't care how we beef up our military. I don't care how much money we pump into it. I don't care how well we train our forces or how sharp our smart bombs are. Guys, the point is it is God who does the protecting. And I think over the last couple of years, God has said, "All right, you don't want me. You've rejected me as a nation. Okay, I'm going to lift my hand just a little bit and let you see what happens." And guys, look what's happened over the last couple of years. Our prayer should be, "God, have mercy on us. Forgive us of turning away from our founding fathers' roots, the roots they laid in the Word of God, the foundation they laid for this nation. God, restore us and bring us back. Get rid of the floaties. We want to be spiritually young again in our God. We want to see revival in this nation." That's what I pray for. And I think, you know what? I think we're kind of ripe for revival. I really do. I look at what happened back in the 60s in the hippie movement, that revival that took place then. There was great rebellion across the nation at that time. And guys, there's real rebellion in our nation today. It takes a different form. But I think that in many ways we're ripe. Again, the rebellion today is we want to go against the moral standards. We want to legalize homosexuality and say that it's normal and not perverted. We want to do all these things that God's word says is an abomination, and we want to do it with just anybody saying it with impunity. How dare you say anything that it's wrong? That's a national heart that's in rebellion against God and against morality. Yes, we can look at it two ways. One is it's very saddening, but the other is, you know what? It's during times like this, God often sends revival. So be praying for God to stir our nation, to bring us back to the place we need to be. It's interesting, as you walk up the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court, there's a row of the world's lawgivers gathered there. They're all facing in. You see all these lawgivers from around the world facing into one man who's standing in the middle, the only one that's facing forward, and it's Moses holding the Ten Commandments. As you enter the Supreme Court, there are two huge oak doors with engraving on each door. Guess what they are? The Ten Commandments. Once you're seated inside, if you look at the wall right above where the justices sit, there's a display of, guess what? The Ten Commandments. Guys, we are hypocritical from the top of our nation on down. And we cannot survive as a nation if we continue this. The founding father, James Madison, Dolly Madison's dad. Just kidding. Who was called the father of our Constitution, said this, "We have staked the entire of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." Wow. He'd be kicked out of court for that today. Founding Father Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." You go, Patrick. We should jump on his horse and ride today. One of Thomas Jefferson's stated fears, this blows me away. Thomas Jefferson, one of his greatest stated fears was this. He said, among this great democracy that we have, and I'm not quoting, I'm putting in my own words. He said, among this great democracy that we have, I have one fear about our judicial system, that is our judges. I'm afraid that at some point they'll take too much authority on themselves and make decisions individually rather than as the nation would like. Our president today calls it activism. You've heard him say more than once, activist judges are turning this nation in a direction that the majority of our nation does not want to go. That was Thomas Jefferson's, one of his greatest fears. We saw it happen in Massachusetts. We saw it happen out in California. Our first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said this, Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers. I don't know that Americans will do that, but what's my point in all this? Guys, not to lift up our founding fathers and not to lift up our nation. No, my point in this is this. We celebrate America's independence as a nation and we remember America's greatness. But guys, why is America great? I know I've already said this. It's not because of what we've done in our institutions or anything. It's because of who has done it and who we have honored up to this point. My fear is that honor is going to turn away and that we're no longer going to be honoring the Lord like we should. Guys, I'm going to make you turn one place. I said I would. Flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. I want to read through before we finish up here. I want to read through what God says he'll do for the nation that honors him and what God says he'll do for the nation that dishonors him. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to be reading quite a few verses, so I will try not to dwell too much on the verses. But notice what God says. Now, speaking to the nation of Israel, but guys, applied to any nation that will honor the Lord. Listen what he says. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Have we not seen that? And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love it. It's a picture of being run down by a blessing and tackled. It means if you try to get away from the blessings, good luck, you can't. Don't bless it. That's the picture of what this word brings here. He says, why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be the basket and the kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee seven. The Lord will command the blessing on you. In your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has shown you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. That's key. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain on your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. Now notice the shift, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now guys, note this. Before we read these, it doesn't say he's going to do it all in one shebang. It is a gradual increase of curses. Even as this nation gradually turned away from the Lord, God says, I will then gradually add these curses. I will turn the heat up to bring you back to me and make you miserable. Notice this. He says, these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. I can remember when leaving your house unlocked was not a fearful thing. Some still do it in this area. Well, there's a lot of areas you better not. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowl be. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you in the land from which you're going to possess. In other words, diseases and pestilence will increase. You know, it's interesting. As a kid growing up, did you have to worry about mosquitoes giving you some disease? I didn't. Now in America, we have West Nile virus. We have some other virus that I'd never even heard of the other day that some little girl in Knoxville got that almost killed her. We never had to worry about that kind of stuff growing up. What's going on? Why now are we suddenly experiencing the things that only nations that haven't had God are experiencing? I think there's a very clear reason. Verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over you, over your head, will be like bronze, and the earth shall be like iron. It's talking about famine. Guys, did you know right now in the middle of our country, we have the worst famine going on now, and possibly in 100 years? Right now, for the last 5 years, our nation is drying up to dangerous, beyond dangerous levels in the Midwest. And of course, it's being blamed on global warming. It's because of global warming that we're having this drought. Guys, it's not because of global warming. It's because of heavenly cooling. We have been cooling our hearts toward heaven. And I believe that God is turning up the heat on America. I know these are bold statements. I'm not saying that God is wiping us out. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that as any good father does, he brings out the paddle when the kids are in disobedience. And I believe the hand of God is chastising the nation of America, even as he promised he would do. Verse 24, the Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you're destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way and flee 7 ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Now, guys, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I don't want to bring us down today, but I want us to be sober today. I'm not saying that all these things are happening right now. I'm not saying all these things are going to happen tomorrow. I'm saying, listen, we as a nation said to God at the founding of our nation, we're going to serve you, we're going to follow you, we're going to love you. And God said, I will bless you, and he did. But God said as well, if you turn away from me as a nation, he said that you're going to bring curses on yourself. You're going to bring the reproach of the Lord. Not because God hates us, but because he loves us. He wants to restore us. He wants to bring us back to himself. Guys, as we end up today, I just want to say this. You know, the Declaration of Independence is great. But today, what I think we need to make is a declaration of dependence. And that is a declaration of dependence on God. Thanking him that he is the one that has made America great. Thanking him that he is the one that we owe everything to, and saying, Lord, have mercy on us as a nation. I'm not saying that you guys are the ones turning away. I'm not saying that the believers, that the church. I'm saying I see a fearful trend in our nation. And I don't hear the uproar from the church that I would expect. And it concerns me. Guys, I just want to encourage us this week to pray. Now, I've said that before, but I'm going to give you a practical way to do it here as we finish up. Here's a practical way to do it. Just for the next 7 days. At mealtime. When you say your prayer at mealtime, and you are saying your prayer at mealtime, even at the restaurant, when you're afraid people will look at you and think you're weird, you're still saying it. Guys, pray for this nation. God, bless this food. Thank you for blessing America. And Lord, bring us back. We've got floaties. And we need to repent. And God, let it start with me. I can't read it to you now, but I'd like you to go maybe later on, chapter 10. Read the prayer of Daniel, when Daniel began to cry. Rather, chapter 9, when Daniel began to cry out. He began to cry out for the sins of the nation, the reason they were judged in the judgment of Babylon. And notice when Daniel prays that prayer, Daniel doesn't say, this wicked nation, these people have been so ugly, God. Yucky, they're yucky, God. They're just, but forgive them. He says, Lord, we have sinned. Lord, I am responsible. Guys, when we pray, we need to say, God, forgive me. I'm responsible. I have contributed plenty of sin to the direction of this nation. I take responsibility. And when we take responsibility of the church, then we pray for the world to take responsibility. Guys, that's when we're going to see revival. That's when we're going to see God begin to move. If you're an unbeliever and you've never made your declaration at all, what a great day to make your declaration of dependence. The day that our nation made their declaration of independence, not from God, but to him, you can make your declaration of dependence to the Lord simply by asking him in your heart. It's not hard. God, forgive me. I admit that I've sinned. It's not just America. It's me, Lord. And I ask your forgiveness. I give my life to you. I ask you to come into my heart and to be my Lord. The Bible says you will be his child at that time. And again, what a great day to do it on the 4th of July. John 8:36 says this, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Guys, our nation has never been this divided since the Civil War. I believe we're at a crossroads. I truly do. This is not just for, I don't know what the word is, but to seem emotional or whatever about sharing something. I believe we're at a crossroads. I look at our nation's history. when our nation almost completely fell apart was during the Civil War. There was part on one side, part on the other. The nation split. What did Jesus say? A nation divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom, rather. We could convert it to nation. A kingdom divided against itself can't stand. Guys, I look at our nation, and we saw it in this last election. If you want to see how clearly divided our nation is, and even now, I believe our nation is divided. I believe there's a group that is seeking to allow the light in, and I truly believe there's a group who's seeking to allow the dark in. And the nation is divided, even like the Civil War. In the same vein, in the same heart, there was that division. It almost destroyed the nation. But because of Abraham Lincoln and his faith in God and what he did and seeking the Lord and crying out to the Lord, and because of our Congress crying out to the Lord, the light won out. And the oppression that our nation had undertaken and was underway was defeated. And again, guys, even greater freedom came from the Lord with that. We celebrate that. But guys, as I see the division in our nation today compared to the Civil War, I fear. I've often thought if I ever got a chance to go to Congress, not that I would, but if somebody ever got up and said, can you just share one statement, it would almost be just that one statement. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And we've got to decide where we stand as a nation. Do we stand with God or do we stand away from God? It has to be decided, because if it's divided, it's going to push us in one direction or the other. And that's what made this nation great. I want to end with something that I think is appropriate considering the division we have in our nation today in many areas and the division we had in the days of Abraham Lincoln with the Civil War. With a proclamation, when Abraham Lincoln saw the division in our nation and saw that it was split, but realized that he was standing on the side of righteousness. There were forces of darkness trying to overtake the nation. I'm not saying that means that the South was in darkness. I'm from the South, so don't take this wrong. My point is I'm saying that the stands the South was making were wrong. And because of that, God raised up leaders that got our nation the direction they should be and gave every man freedom that he should have in this nation. And listen what Abraham proclaimed on March 30th, 1863. He said this, "Whereas the Senate of the United States devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of the Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, has by resolution requested the president to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation." Wow! That our Congress would do that today. "And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord. And insomuch as we know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious land which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with the blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace." Father, let that be our prayer today. Lord, we don't stand with political parties. We don't stand, Lord, with social movements just for the sake of thinking that's going to change our society. Lord, we stand with You, for You are our God. And Lord, it is because of You that this nation has been made great. It is because of You, Lord, that this nation has been preserved. And God, even as our nation faced a time of division and war within, Lord, the first time with real guns and bullets, Lord, this time, political venues, stands in different positions. God, unite us again as a nation. And Father, I pray that You would unite us around righteousness.
God, that you would unite us around your word and what is right. God, let us remember how you established this nation. Let us remember, Lord God, that you're the one that has made this nation great. And God, let us as a people cry out for your forgiveness. And Lord, I do that right now. Father, I ask that you would forgive us as a nation of turning away from you. Lord, I know that not all have turned away. I know that there are righteous. I know there are righteous here today. And I praise you for the righteous, for those that are standing, Lord, in truth. But God, the darkness is coming in like a flood. And you've promised in your word, Lord, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll raise up a standard, God. If your people will cry out, God, give us a heart to cry out. We ask you to forgive us. We ask that you would let us celebrate. Let today be a day of celebration, remembering what you've done for this nation, rejoicing in it. But Lord, also let it be a day of sobering to remember why we're great and to make sure, Lord, that we don't, even as others in the past and even as the nation of Israel, slip away, Lord, in the wrong direction and begin to deny the God that bought us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. I pray, God, that you would protect today this nation, that you would guard us, Lord, from terrorist attack. I pray, God, that you would protect each of us as we go out to celebrate in whatever way we celebrate, God. We ask for your hand, but we acknowledge, God, that it is by your hand that we are protected, and we give you the glory. And today, Lord, yes, we remember America and what you've done, but Lord, today we remember the God who has made America, and we honor you with our hearts and with our lives. Lord, let us be a lamp that shines brightly for Jesus Christ and for truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.